expect some form of suffering, it encourages me because then I begin to anticipate the reality of my life. I am not surprised when difficulty and suffering in this case comes in. And as I anticipate the reality of suffering, I also, though, anticipate the reality of God's blessing and grace upon my life, because what God says to us in His Word, where there's suffering, there's His grace.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're thankful, as always, that you have joined us here today. And we're praying for you that God's Word, as it's open, would be changing your lives even today. You've joined us in the middle of a series that we've called Hope and Holiness. We're walking verse by verse through the book of 1 Peter. And we're seeing so often that hope gets paired with holiness so many times, but today, hope and holiness, well, they get paired with suffering. Hey, Robbie, another practical message for us all today, right?
Such an important one, the topic of suffering. Are you enduring suffering? It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And let me just take a moment just to remind you to how much we appreciate when we understand that God's Word is encouraging each of you. And so we want to just invite you and again encourage you to write or phone or email us and let us know, especially messages like today, all of us suffering in one form or another, and how specific God gets with us in His Word, as suffering is one of the themes through the letter of 1 Peter. So again, if God is speaking to you and if He is using this ministry to encourage you and change you, we'd love to hear that, because again, that's why we're here, for lives to be changed that results in God's glory. So I think this is a topic that probably has your interest as it has mine, and 1 Peter has a lot to say about this in the weeks to come as well. But today we have hope, holiness, and suffering. Let's listen in.
All right, let's get right away to God's Word and today's message from Pastor Robbie.
I'm genuinely excited to do this right now, and I just have found that regardless of what's happening out in the weather, whatever it is, I'm just fired up to preach right now. All right, so you can get a Bible and you can open up to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're trust the Lord is going to do great things with us right now. And last week, I should turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week was hope, holiness, and submission, if you were here, and this week it's this hope, holiness, and suffering. Hope, holiness, and suffering. So you're probably not inclined to give a high five to the person beside you right now and be like, yeah, suffering, woohoo! Love suffering. Whenever we preach on suffering, it's always an interesting topic, but you know what? I believe in it so much. I believe what the Bible says, and the Word of God has so much to say about this. And really what tonight presents is it's another principle that I love to teach around here, and this is the way I usually say it. It's this. Here's a principle for your life. I'm trying to write these down as I go. But a principle for our life is this: align your expectations for life with what the Bible actually teaches. Align your expectations for this life with what the Bible actually teaches. It's amazing to me how many Christians and believers or believers, whatever, they get misled in life or they get disappointed in life because of this. Listen, because they don't know what the Bible actually says. It's amazing how many Christians, again, find disappointment in their lives because they have not lined their minds up with what the Bible so clearly says. And the Bible teaches this. The Christian life is guaranteed to involve some form of suffering. What does that look like? I'm not totally sure. God's the one who decides. God's the one who knows. But this is what we know for sure. The Christian life guarantees some form of suffering. Now, I find that strangely encouraging. I really do. Because what it does is I understand that God is so clearly teaching me that, Robbie, your life expects some form of suffering. It encourages me because then I begin to anticipate the reality of my life. I am not surprised when difficulty and suffering in this case comes in. And as I anticipate the reality of suffering, I also, though, anticipate the reality of God's blessing and grace upon my life, because what God says to us in His Word, where there's suffering, there's His grace. And although it might be so hard, he promises to sustain. And he says, although it's so hard, he promises at the end it will so be worth it in a reward as heirs of Jesus Christ, as he has revealed himself and everything we've done for Jesus Christ will seem so glorious and make so much sense. But in the meantime, the challenge is, do you trust him in the midst of the difficulty and the suffering to believe that he will give grace in that moment, and that suffering for him will result in a reward? And so this is what the Bible teaches, and we need to get on the plan of the Bible. I'm telling you, though, Western Christianity stinks at this. Western Christianity wants to stay so far away from the reality of suffering, instead preach a prosperity of some kind, because it's so much easier to sell people something that says, if you love Jesus, he'll give you something nicer. But Jesus says, I'll give you life way better. It's just not going to be easier. It will not be easier, but it'll be so much better, suffering in the Word of God. Let's just take the letter of 1 Peter, for example. And you may not be aware of this, of how much Peter is instructing the churches on the reality of suffering. We're going to flip some pages, okay? So look at chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, right? We're just aligning ourselves with what the Bible actually says. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Notice the grieving and the joy in the same verse, surrounded by trials or forms of suffering. And why do trials come? That the tested, verse 7, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor the revelation of Jesus Christ. Suffering is a reality, trials with joy and grief, but found to result in the praise of Jesus Christ when he returns. Flip over to chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Check this out. Since therefore, and by the way, we're going to be in chapter 2 obviously today, but I'll take that in a second. Chapter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. What way of thinking? Suffering. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves, Christians, with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Chapter 4, verse 12 now. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. That happens to us way too often. Suffering enters in, and we're walking around like, what's this? It's promised. It's promised. He says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, unmistakable, undeniable in God's word, that you may also rejoice and be glad. Don't you see? There's so much meaning and purpose within suffering for Christ in the Christian life. There's so much joy that is found in the reality of suffering. Look now at verse 19 of chapter 4. Therefore, let those who suffer according to, here we go. Ready for this one? God's will. Time out, Rob. Are you saying that God says part of his will is we suffer? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. God's word is saying. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, this is such a great verse, entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. And the last verse, chapter 5, verse 10. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered, there it is again. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, where there's suffering, there's grace. Where there's suffering, there's joy. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, can I get an amen? Amen. How great is this? Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. And there it is. Amen. Now listen. You tell me, if the Holy Spirit is clear on what we are to expect in the Christian life from these verses right here. I mean, is the Holy Spirit clear? The Holy Spirit's abundantly clear, but we don't live like the Holy Spirit is so clear. I gotta tell you, when life gets hard, often we act as if we've never read the Bible. That's true. When life gets hard, we act like we've never read the Bible. Because if we've read the Bible, God's like, I've told you over and over and over again. This is just a sampling of 1 Peter. And we're going to see so many other verses as we go along. Well, there are so many where Jesus himself says, if you're going to follow me, man, it's going to hurt. But there's so much purpose in the pain. But to think that this life in Christ is painless, you're not reading the same Bible I'm reading, right? So sometimes when the trials come in and the sufferings in our lives, it's like we're seeing snow in July, right? And we're just like, this isn't supposed to happen. Yes, it is supposed to happen. It's called the will of God. Do I fully get it? Absolutely not. But the point is, entrust your souls to a faithful creator while still doing good. Here's what we're learning today in 1 Peter, man. Hope, holiness, suffering. It's just the way it goes. But this isn't going to be a scary thing. When you see it in God's eyes, you trust him. But there's hope, there's holiness, and there's suffering. What does he do with suffering? He purifies his church and he gets maximum glory. That's why it comes. I'm excited, but we need to pray, okay? We need to pray because this will not be an easy thing for our flesh to take right now. Oh, holy God, I pray right now through this message you would do a number of things. I pray, oh God, that you would humble the sinner. I pray, Lord, the Savior would be exalted. And I pray holiness would be promoted in our lives. Please, God, would you humble the sinner, all of us? Would the Savior, Jesus Christ, be exalted? And would we be transformed along the path to holiness? The starting point I know for my life and for my brothers and sisters is to first start with, I'm convinced God is right and I am not. And God says, suffering is part of my calling. I will trust him in it. And I will choose to see your love and joy as you show me as well. So this is a hard thing, Lord, but you can do it. And I believe right now many of us desire to know it. So we pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's start here then. Here's what I need to know about our text today and the reality of suffering. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go 18 to 25 tonight, Lord willing. So let's read the text and then we'll get jumping in here. Peter says this, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Really, that's employees to your employer, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Check this out. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is underlined in my Bible. I hope it's underlined in your Bible. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, what? Suffering. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, unbelievable, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him. So much like 4 verse 19. Entrust your souls to a faithful creator. But continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore sins in his body on the tree. Why? That meanwhile, die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Amen. For you are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Again, here's what we learn about suffering tonight together from this text. Number one in this is our first point, is this suffering in Christ. It's my call to endure. My suffering in Christ is also my call to endure. So in verse 18, Peter continues on the theme of submission as we were in last week. But now this submission thing is in respect to servants and masters, employees, employers. You know, it's interesting that if you did a study of the New Testament, it would reveal that most Christians would be in this servant category. Most of those people whom God was saving were not exactly high up in the spheres of society. Not a lot of Christian kings to speak of in the New Testament, but there's a lot of believers who are in the middle to lower spheres of society. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise." Not many of you, not saying that none of you were wise and none of you were powerful, but not many of you were wise, powerful, or of noble birth. Why? Because God chose what is foolish to shame the wise, what is weak to shame the strong. What is despised and low are the people that God, not all the time, but often are the people that God uses. And so here we see in verse 18, Peter is addressing the servants. Again, the employees of the day. And notice again here, notice how much God cares about both our submission and our respect to those in authority over us. You got to know from God's word right here, it matters to God how you respect your boss. It matters to God what you say about him in front of him and how you treat him when he's there. And it matters to God how you treat he or she when they're not there as well. With all respect right here, be subject, submit, respect. Now, the heart of this command is that it's easy to respect a boss that's kind and gentle. That's right there in verse 18. It's easy to respect a boss. My boss is the best, man. Like, we get along so well. We're like, it's just money. It's amazing. But the kicker of this verse is the respect is to be given to the boss that we'll frankly call the one who's a jerk as well. And that's where really the Christian life starts to be really lived and really seen for what we truly are. And as we go from verse 18 to verse 19, this is when we start to see the distinct characteristics of the true follower of Jesus Christ. You need to see this here, okay? You need to see this. Now, please be sure your flesh will not like it, but the Spirit of God within you will love it. You say, love what? This, here it is. It's the willingness to suffer unjustly. The Spirit of God within you and your desire to be more and more like Jesus Christ will love the desire and the command to be willing to suffer unjustly. But this is so counterintuitive. It's really so anti-flesh. Because why? We scream out for our rights. We scream out for our justice. We scream out for our vindication. Yet Jesus Christ calls us in the opposite direction of what our flesh wants us to do. I mean, think of how mad you get when a car cuts you off. And yet alone, we are to submit and surrender and love even in the midst of being falsely accused. Or worse than that, if you continue through the New Testament, what Jesus says. Let me say it again. One of the true signs of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ is the willingness to suffer unjustly. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted against for righteousness' sake." He goes on to say, because great will your reward be in heaven. I want to give you a bit of a sampling of the New Testament treatment of suffering. Here are some other verses of this must be a characteristic of what's happening within our lives as we follow Christ. Look at Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then heirs. And if we're heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Notice this, provided we suffer. It's right there in God's word. We're heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't even worth comparing to the glory that will be to revealed to us in the last time. Here's another verse. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Check out this word, granted. We have been granted the opportunity to not only believe in Christ, but to suffer for the sake of Christ. Next verse. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. This is Paul's almost dead. He's last days. He's getting Timothy, his young mentor, man. He's training him up. He says so much here to Timothy about suffering. Don't be ashamed, nor me of his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Next verse, Paul to Timothy again. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Isn't it very fast? Share in suffering. Next verse, 2 Timothy 4:5. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I wanted to end with this last one. I think it's Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Peter and John. They were beaten because they were preaching Jesus Christ. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They are rejoicing as they leave. Woohoo! Woohoo! What's up? Why are you so happy, man? We suffered for Jesus. They're rejoicing because they get it. They didn't at first, but they did quickly after that. They understand the privilege and the glory and the blessing and the grace that is seen in the life that suffers for the name of Jesus Christ. When we talk about suffering, a lot of us are going, but the key is to let the Bible speak. And I just did that. We're going to let the Bible speak now in, again, chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Look at verse 19. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? Slaves, servants would be beaten at times in Peter's context here for things they had done wrong. But the point is, if you're being beaten for your own sin, in this context, they deserve that. But if when you do good, again, verse 20, and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, for to this you have been called. The first thing I want to notice in these verses is the theme of suffering and the theme of grace. Notice that there in these verses. So when we as believers suffer for the love or the cause of Christ, we are promised grace, and gracious here as in reward. Grace as in when Christ returns, but I also believe it means in some part grace in the moment as well, even the joy as Peter and John experienced. They suffered, they were beaten, but they were rejoicing. They found God's grace through their trial of suffering for Jesus Christ. But before we get too far into that, let's notice when we are not promised grace. We are not promised grace when we suffer for sin, our own sin. In verse 20, if when we sin and suffer consequences, the point is really we have nothing to complain about. So let's be very careful when we start to equate biblical suffering with our own choice to sin, okay? That's not suffering for Christ, that's suffering for stupidity. Okay? Let's make sure we don't sugarcoat that one at all. When we are experiencing our consequences for the sin in our lives, don't give me the suffering for Christ thing. You know, like a guy comes up who's messed up his marriage because of his unfaithfulness and he's totally wrecking his life, and he comes out how hard his life is and how you're not suffering for Christ, man. That's a consequence for sin. And the Bible promises that too. And really verse 20 is saying this, if you deserve it, own it. It's the best thing you can do. If you deserve it, just own it. That's the quickest way to find repentance and refreshing of times in the Lord. But also in verse 20 is, but if when you do good now for the sake of Christ and suffer for it, and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So verse 19 and 20, we have another inclusio. Remember, an inclusio is a literary envelope. And there's an envelope here. There's a gracious thing in the start of verse 19 and gracious thing at the end of verse 20. So it's an envelope of grace here. And he says here, it is a gracious thing when we suffer being mindful of God. Verse 19, see that? Being mindful of God, meaning if we suffer in relationship to our Savior, in relation to our love for Jesus Christ, when we suffer because we are thinking on the love of Christ, we are living out our relationship with Christ. If we suffer for that sake, it's a gracious thing. But notice also, when we suffer for his sake, it's a gracious thing in the sight of God. So just look at verse 20. It's so key. When we suffer for Christ, it's a gracious thing in the sight of God. I like to think every tear shed, every heartache we feel, every pain we go through, every trial of difficulty or every hurt we experience as it relates to our love for Jesus Christ and the attacks that come upon us, God sees it all. He sees every single moment, every single action, every single thought, every single word, everything. God sees it all. He sees it all. He does not turn a blind eye to his children. He sees you. He loves you. And it's a gracious thing in his sight when we do good for his son and endure and not give up. And you have to hold that so close to your heart to give you the truth and the joy of what God is saying to you right now. There's the theme of suffering. There's the theme of grace. But also notice, finally, there's a theme of enduring. Three times in these two verses, the word endure is used. Notice verse 21. For to this you've been called. Our calling in Christ is to patiently endure suffering for Christ, knowing that it pleases Christ. Patiently enduring suffering in the love of Christ. Now, can we just admit we're not very good at this? Can we admit that we don't like suffering? At least I'll speak for myself. I don't like it. My flesh wants to run away from it. But there's no denying this is part of our calling to it. John Piper, says this on this issue of we are so fragile emotionally when it comes to difficulty within life. He says this, he says, one of the pervasive marks of our times is emotional fragility. It hangs in the air we breathe. We don't like difficulty. We don't like suffering. We are easily hurt. We pout and mope easily. We blame easily. We break easily. Our marriages fall apart easily. Our faith breaks easily. Our happiness breaks easily. And our commitment to the church breaks easily. We are easily disheartened, and it seems we have little capacity for surviving and thriving in the face of criticism and opposition. He says, we see very few healthy, happy examples today whose lives spell out in flesh and blood the rugged words, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, James 1:2. When historians list the character traits of America or Canada in the last third of the 20th century, commitment, constancy, tenacity, endurance, patience, resolve, and perseverance will not be on the list. The list will begin with an all-consuming interest in self-esteem. It will be followed by the subheadings of self-assertiveness, self-enhancement, and self-realization. And if we think that we are not children of our times, let us simply test ourselves to see how we respond when people reject us, spurn us for our good efforts, or misconstrue our best intentions. See, this is when, what he's saying here, this is when Bibles and biographies are a very powerful combination. Because the Bible says we're clearly called to suffer. And when you start reading actual lives that have suffered and they have endured, and you start, it is very, very humbling. But in our day, I will speak, generally speaking, we are spiritual wimps in the category of biblical suffering. We don't understand it. We don't want to understand it. We run away from it. We don't get it. Generally speaking, I'll say that. God calls us to something different. There is no doubt the Christian life involves suffering. There's no doubt the Christian life involves enduring. But listen, there's no doubt the Christian life involves reward. And this is what the Lord is saying to us now. So one of the most powerful things we do in Christ, let me hear this, is to suffer unjustly. One of the most powerful things we do for Christ, that's why it comes up over and over and over again, is to suffer unjustly, because God promises a reward for this. Suffering in Christ, I am called to endure. I'm called to endure. Number two is this: suffering of Christ, my ultimate example. Suffering of Christ now. Check out verse 21. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Underline that. So that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Three things become crystal clear from these verses as it relates to Jesus now and suffering. Three things are crystal clear. Number one, when it comes to suffering, Jesus Christ is my example. We know that. That's in our point. Number two, Jesus Christ, although sinless, he endured sinners. And number three, when it comes to Jesus and suffering, Jesus Christ left vengeance to God, which blows my mind.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. You can also write us at any time in Canada at 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, Canada, L6L6X9. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.